Unpack the toolbox of technology that's promising to redefine retirement planning. But does it deliver? This episode takes a critical look at the wave of innovations from personal finance management software to online calculators and questions whether they truly simplify the planning process or introduce new complexities.
A successful retirement plan begins with assembling the right set of tools. Finding the proper ones for the job will allow you to drill down on your goals and nail down your future. Scott Searles, certified wealth strategist and owner of Skybox Financial Group, constructs retirement plans for clients every day and will share that knowledge and insight with you. It's time to open the retirement toolbox and get to work.
It's another episode of Retirement Toolbox. Walter Storholt here with Scott Searles, of course, financial advisor, president of Skybox Financial Group. And we've got a great show on the way today. Scott, you've been in business for more than 20 years, helping people plan for retirement and their financial futures. And so you've seen a lot of change in technology over the years. And I can't wait for your perspective on this show and on this episode, because not just technology and what we interact with on a daily basis, but in the financial planning world, I think this will be insightful. Before all of that, though, how's life? What's going on in your world?
Hey, well, you know what? We're still jamming through lacrosse season here, and enjoying the outdoors. The weather's starting to warm up a little bit. So,
how are the teams doing? Are we getting wins?
Yeah. They're actually my college daughter's team's doing good, and the high school team is doing good too. So, yeah, it's an exciting year.
Very nice. At the time of this recording, we have just completed the first weekend of March Madness, the NCAA tournament. Is your bracket busted, by the way?
You know what? I didn't do a bracket this year. I hate to admit it. But okay. It would have been busted, as soon as Kentucky lost.
I mean, oh, yeah. That probably hurt a lot of people, I would imagine.
Yeah, that would have killed me
away.
That
was a tough one.
And, what's neat is, so we've been following the women's basketball tournament, too, because the Final Four is in Cleveland, and we're actually going to the championship.
You got tickets, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of fun watching that, seeing who we're going to play. And as of this recording, yet we don't know. By the time you listen to this, though, you will know who the champions are.
Yeah, it'll be right upon us. So we'll be looking forward to your report in a future episode of how the final tournament experience was. So
absolutely.
That is very cool. We've got approximately 10 technological items to hit here and talk about their impact on the financial planning and retirement planning world, and for good or for bad, we'll find out. So let's dive in, Scott. And the first one on the list is one that we probably all use every day, or at least some search engine like it, but let's just call it Google. What about the impact of Google in retirement planning?
Google's fantastic resource, right? I mean, you can type in anything and get information anywhere on your phone. I mean, it's amazing from that standpoint. But when it comes to financial planning, you have to remember that old saying, don't believe everything you see on the internet. And geez, if you Google tax planning, you literally get 80,000 plus different results on there. And I would tell you 98% of them are probably wrong. I always make a joke when I go to my doctor, let's say my arm's hurting, or I'll say, Dr. Google says I have cancer, right? Because you type in my arm hurts and it comes up with all these different things.
Yep.
And the first one's always, cancer. So you have to take it with a grain of salt. And everything on Google doesn't necessarily apply to you and your situation.
I think it's a great point. Context, really important whenever you're researching or doing anything on your own, like looking on Google for advice and guidance. So, and that'll be another theme, I think, through a lot of the ones that we discussed today. Make sure that context is understood and important, maybe bias, all those kinds of things I think are going to come into play here. So Google, great tool, but be careful when using it, because it might just tell you have cancer when really you just need to, save $100 more a month to be ready for retirement.
Exactly.
All right. What about robo-advisors, number two on our list?
Yeah. Well, so robo-advisors, for everybody that doesn't know what that is that's where there's websites and different companies where you can put in information about yourself, your portfolio, and then what they do is they then manage that portfolio for you, automatically using kind of like an AI kind of thing. Now, robo-advisors were the big thing probably like, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. And in our industry, everybody's like, we're going to get killed by robo-advisors. But the reality is it doesn't really replace having an actual person with experience, knowing you, your family, and your situation to do the planning. And, you know, that's going to work good with a lot of simple retirement stuff and preparing and saving for retirement. But once you get beyond that and advanced strategies, whether it's going to be tax planning or anything along those lines, the robo-advisors just don't hack it. And they've started to become less and less popular, you know, from when they first started out.
Yeah. So you don't necessarily have to be talking to a metal robot to be working with a robo-advisor. This is a little bit broader of a term.
No, that'd be cool if it was a robot.
Hey, maybe that could be like a junior advisor in your firm, Scott. You call him Scott Jr. and you can have him just kind of be, you know, hello, welcome to the firm. I am the retirement toolbox robot. How may I help you?
That, you know, that may work well because they'd have a shiny bald head like me.
There you go. Yeah. We could basically do just a robot clone of you, but like make it like 60% of your size. So it's not as threatening. You know, you can beat it up if you needed to.
Yeah, and it can wheel over and get you a glass of water.
That's right. Meeting, have you ever been to one of those restaurants, by the way, where a little robot comes and brings you water?
Yep. Yeah. It rolls right up, and it's kind of cool but weird at the same time.
Yeah, a little bit of both, that's for sure. I have to go on a side here. I did a driverless car. I rode in one. For the first time. Yep. Sure did.
Did it freak you out?
We were down in Arizona and some friends of ours, and we were in the Tempe area, and we said, "Oh yeah, let's take an Uber over to get lunch before we went to a hockey game." It was before we go to the hockey game, and they called a Waymo, and that's the company that does the true driverless taxis. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, this car just pulls up. We all get in. It's like, hello. And then whoever booked it says your name. So it'd be like, hello, Scott. And then you get in. And then when you're all buckled, it says, press the button when you're ready. And you hit the button and it just took right off. And it did pretty amazing. It did awesome. And it was really freaky how comfortable we got. Like very fast, got comfortable with it. Like, all right, it is what it is. Okay.
Well, you're talking, you're enjoying yourself. And yeah, I mean, I love that story, but I don't know what's more amazing, Walter, the fact that you rode in the car or you have friends. I had to throw that in there.
That was just mean. That really hurt. Gosh. No, it was pretty cool. It actually handled really well a pedestrian running across the street, not in a crosswalk, and it handled it beautifully by stopping. And the funny thing was the pedestrian stopped too, This was the funniest part. So the car has now stopped in an awkward place because this pedestrian was streaming across, but he stopped probably because he looked and saw that nobody was driving the car.
Right.
Because he had this really surprised look on his face. And then it was a stalemate because he was like, I don't know what to do. And the car was definitely must have in its programming, like, the pedestrian is too close at this point. I'm not budging until he moves on. Right. And we're in there thinking like it's a normal situation. We're waving him on like, go ahead, you pass. And then we were all like, hold on, we're not actually in control. We shouldn't be waving him on to come across. So we're all just like staring at each other. And finally, he like slowly creeps in front of the car and goes away. And as soon as he clears the car goes and zooms right by. So I thought it handled it pretty well. But it was really funny in the awkward situation of us trying to tell him like, oh, it's okay, go ahead. Well, technically, we don't have any authority to say that, but sure.
Well, I don't know. I wonder if the thing has a little horn that beeps and goes toot toot.
We need to do something like that. Yeah. In any event, robo advisors, robo cars. We know that's going to be in the news a lot over the next few years, all the robo stuff. Back to a little bit of a manual input on this next piece of technology, online calculators. Do you find those useful for folks or much ado about nothing?
Well, you know what? It's useful to give you a general idea. A lot of 401k, when you log in your 401k, they may have a calculator in there where you put your Social Security that you expect to get and knows the value of your portfolio, and it'll tell you you'll have this much money in retirement. And again, very general calculation to give you an idea, but it's not going to take into all the different nuances that go into place into a true retirement income plan.
Yeah, you need a lot of interpretation, I think, for some of those things. And you just don't get that with a do-it-yourself kind of thing. Speaking of do-it-yourself, we have a lot of do-it-yourself trading platforms. So, you know, E-Trade, Scottrade, there's, you know, tons of others, not just picking on those two, but just two recognizable ones. Mm-hmm. Are those useful for folks?
Yeah, you know, I mean, people that want to play around a little bit and buy some stock in something or another, there's nothing wrong with that. But I always tell people, you always want to have your serious money professionally managed. You don't want to start, you know, e-trading your whole entire retirement plan, because that could just end in disaster. So, I mean, it's good for playing around a little bit, maybe having a little fun money that you buy some NVIDIA or different things that you think are cool, and, you know, use it that way. But for you to bet, you know, manage your whole future by yourself on those trading platforms, I mean, that some people, that's their thing. If they want to take all their time in their retirement and worry about managing their money, you know, so be it. But there's all those, again, those nuances, those other things that you're not going to have covered.
Let's talk about the cable channels that have sprung up over the last couple of decades. Speaking of you being in the business for 20 years, Scott, you've seen a lot of these in various iterations. And now we have these channels that are dedicated to financial, economic, business news, you name it. We can get really specific with some of these channels. There's radio stations that just do business news all day long. And we're not even really getting into the YouTube side of things, where now there's channels dedicated to, you know, investing, financial advice, retirement. Hey, we're even doing a podcast. We could throw ourselves into this a little bit as well. What do you think about these, you know, channels and all of the stuff that's dedicated to supposedly helping us get ready for retirement?
Yeah, you know what? Again, information is good. Too much information is bad. You know, it's okay to watch it for a little bit, but you don't want to stay glued to it, hanging on every word. Because remember, I mean, it's hard to predict the markets. We don't really know what's going to happen. And there's a lot of people that get paid a lot more money to me to be glorified weathermen on some of those financial cable channels.
Yeah, that's okay? A good point.
So, again, it's good to get some general information, but you don't want to take action off of that. And you certainly don't want to start watching it every day. Because if you've got a well-designed portfolio, you don't need to worry about what that market's doing every day. It's all it's going to do, you know, whatever it's going to do. And volatility's increased in the market. So, you know, every day we're going to probably have big swings in those markets. And, you know, you just, again, take the information with a grain of salt and don't get too carried away.
I feel like this one, too, is bias really becomes important to keep in mind in this situation, too, because you've got people on cable channels that are trying to sell eyeballs, right? So can you question the motivations here a little bit?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's all about money, right?
Yeah, and it's all about money in the content, but also in what gets you to come to the table, that's for sure.
Exactly.
All right, maybe something positive here, this next one. I feel like we've been very negative about technology, perhaps, through these first couple. What about educational webinars, online courses, ways that we can get better educated about finances using technology?
Yeah, I'm all for this. I'm all for getting educated, utilizing online, you know, courses and webinars. But you just need to be careful of the source. I mean, because anybody can put anything on the internet. You can have some guy that doesn't have two nickels to rub together, and he's trying to tell you how you can do tax planning in your retirement through his online course you just paid $1,200 for. You don't know how accurate that's going to be. So you got to look at the source. But if you get a good, reliable source, then, you know, that's definitely a good add-on for you to be able to do.
Personal finance software, another big technology increase in the last couple of years. So you might have Quicken. I know Mint was a thing online for personal finance software, although I believe recently they shut down, and so others are kind of springing up trying to fill that void. I've definitely appreciated some of that opportunity to, you know, be able to crunch numbers in different ways using various softwares and things like that.
Yeah, I think it's great, you know, because you need to track where your money goes. You need to, I mean, that's just being a good steward of your money. And software systems, whether it's something you download on a computer, an app, or online software to help you monitor and track where your money goes, I think it's a great idea.
We got three more to hit here. Personal, not personal finance, but social media financial influencers. surprised that this is even a thing, but there's people out there that carry a lot of weight in the social media world when it comes to retirement, personal finance, and trying to help people, I suppose, but kind of funny where people will put their trust and take their advice from.
Yeah, well, you know what? I guess the key is in the words there, right? Financial influencers.
What are they influencing?
right. And why are they influencing you? I mean, most of the time, you know, they're getting sponsored by a company. They're getting paid in order to show, you know, whatever strategy or show whatever software, whatever it may be that they're trying to sell. So there's always a motivation behind, you know, when somebody's doing that, whether it be, I saw a TikTok the other day with some guy trying to sell his system to create your own business and, you know, use that to buy other businesses and all sorts of, you know, his little system. And, you know, so they're always trying to, you know, make money one way or another. So you always need to take that with a grain of salt. I think there's a lot of better content on the internet to give you much more solid advice than on the social media influencers.
Yeah, I know our attention spans are short these days, and it can be one thing to try and get great advice on any subject in less than 60 seconds. Like, fantastic if you can accomplish that, but how deep and how vast can your knowledge really become in learning in little 30 to 60 second bites? And sometimes that's a bit skeptical, at least in my eyes. All right, what about mobile banking apps? Everybody's got a couple of those on their phones these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good to keep track of that, especially nowadays with all the, you know, the fraud and people stealing your credit cards and all that type of stuff. I think it's good, easy way just to check up, make sure everything's on track. And yeah, I think the mobile banking apps are good. Plus, you can even deposit checks now on those things. So you don't even need to go into the bank.
Yeah, I don't know the last time I deposited a check at the bank was. Pretty much all via mobile at this point. So.
Exactly.
All right, last but not least, let's talk about digital estate planning services. You know, I see a lot of ads for this nowadays with, you know, hey, get your online will and trust and all your legal documents in place with a few clicks of a button. I know that's not exactly in the financial planning world, but it's definitely related to retirement concepts and thinking about estate planning. Is this a positive development for folks to make that a little bit easier?
You know, I think it is. Again, depending on your situation, if it's something simple and easy, there are companies that do have good reputations, that do create very good documents. But you just need to be very careful. I think, you know, having more wealth and more complex situations may start to get out of the realm of those things. And you need to know why you're doing it. And the reason behind, you know, the intention of your documents. And I think that's another big thing to consider.
So I'm curious, as we wrap up this technology piece of our conversation today, Scott, are there any ways that you utilize technology in your office or in constructive ways for your clients and to help enhance their experience?
Yeah, I mean, we are always, every quarter we do a review of the technology and the different software and programs and things that we're utilizing. And you know, we use things that, you know, secure file transferring now that allows, you know, clients to be able to send us tax returns and documents in an encrypted and safe way instead of, you know, having them have to mail. So, I mean, that's a nice advantage there, as well as, you know, DocuSigning and digital signing of documents. You know, we do a lot of that. Again, it makes it very easy. And scheduling. We do a lot of our scheduling through the internet, so that's easy for our clients. Just if they need to schedule a time to talk, or if they need to schedule a review meeting or something, they can just hop on right online, see what the schedule looks like, and pick a time that's convenient for them. And that's just one of, you know, several different things that we utilize.
Yeah, it's fantastic, man. If you pick those automatic schedulers, online schedulers, those are life changers. I mean, when I instituted that in my workflow, it just made life so much easier. Instead of 17 emails back and forth trying to find a time,
exactly.
Click this link, book a time, boom, done. So easy. Love stuff like that. Well, if you are struggling to make heads or tails of your retirement future and trying to figure out the best path forward, what's going to be the impact of technology? Hey, I'm doing some DIY stuff, but I don't know if it's working. I don't know if I've got a solid plan for retirement. Often those are the kinds of things that people come into the office with Scott and bring up. Hey, I tried doing this on my own, but it's not giving me any more confidence as I prepare for retirement. Those are the kinds of solutions that you need, the things that are going to bring you confidence that you're going to get to and through retirement. And so if you'd like to set up a complimentary visit with Scott, you can do that very easily by going to talkwithscott.net. Again, that's talkwithscott.net. Book that free call right there and have a conversation about where you are right now in your financial planning life and how to turn your retirement planning into a success. Again, all you have to do is go to talkwithscott.net and book your call, or you can call 888-742-0111 and do it the old-fashioned way. Contact information in the description of today's show so you can find it easily. Don't hesitate to reach out if you have any questions on your mind about retirement. Coming up, we're going to get to know Scott a little bit better, and we've got a good question from Randall before we wrap up today's show as well. Randall's got a couple of things on his mind, but kind of the biggest one is trying to decide on that specific retirement date, as well as a few other moving parts here. So we'll explore that question and more coming up next.
It's getting to know you time.
Well, it's time to get to know Scott a little bit better on today's show. And here is my question for you on this episode, Scott. And it has to do with sleeping. So that's good. Just nice calm segment here on the show. Do you normally fall asleep easily, or does it take you a while?
You know, Walter, as soon as my head hits that pillow, I'm out.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, very seldom do I sometimes have times, you know, difficult times falling asleep. I notice one time when I almost always do have a problem is when I'm on a flight and I get in late, you know, let's call it midnight or one, and I'm like tired and I go right to bed. I can't seem to unwind from flying,
from travel,
whatever the case may be. But besides that, normal everyday life, give me a couple minutes and I'm sawing logs.
That's great. That's how my wife is the same way. I mean, before head hits the pillow, she's snoring. It's incredible. I'm like, yeah. I'm so jealous how easily you can fall asleep. I'm not the same. I'm better than I used to be, for sure, but still not great. I've got to look at my phone. I have to basically try to bore myself. So I'll read like really boring articles on my phone, and that'll make me go to sleep a little faster. But if I just try to close my eyes and go to sleep, my mind's going too fast and thinking about things. And so, yeah.
Well, I one thing I do is usually majority of the time, a good hour before I go to bed, I don't use my phone or anything. Apparently, they say that doesn't make it easy for you to fall asleep either, looking at that screen.
Yeah. I'm sure that's the case. I've tried that too, but it didn't seem to help me. And actually, looking at my phone makes me sleepier. But
okay.
Well, I don't know. I also make it very dim, and I take all the blue light out of it and all that kind of stuff. So
right.
It's actually kind of hard to read, and I think that adds to me actually then sort of straining to read it and thus falling asleep faster. So
right.
I don't know. I found something that
works for you.
Read boring news articles, and you'll fall right to sleep.
That's right. That's right.
Go for that. I'm with you on the travel days. That's tough. Actually, you know what's the worst? If you have to be up early the next day, like earlier than you normally would be, I can never go to sleep. It's just something like, oh no, I know I got to get up earlier. So then I feel this pressure to have to fall asleep faster, and then it ends up having the reverse effect.
Yeah, again, I'd have no problem, but my wife's the same way.
Interesting.
Like if we're traveling and we got to get up at 3 because we got a flight leaving at 6 kind of
thing. I'm
not
going to bed until 1
she
at that point.
She won't fall asleep.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Same way. Interesting. Well, there's two types of people in this world, apparently. Ones who fall asleep as soon as their head hits the pillow and those who don't. And
yeah, exactly.
Good illustration of that. All right, let's get to Randall's question here. He's been nice and patient, and we'll see what he's got on his mind as we open up the mailbag.
It's time for the mailbag. We want to hear from you.
All right, so Randall says, I haven't decided on a specific retirement date yet, but hopefully it'll be sometime in the next 4 years. With all the recent market volatility, should I just move my retirement savings to cash until everything blows over?
Well, Randall, actually, this is a common question that I get a lot from people. And there's a lot of different information I don't know, but, you know, depending how old you are, what your situation is, you know, whatever. But, you know, the whole idea is that when you retire, you are going to be retired for decades, not years. So if you can just think 30 years ago, what the cost of everything was, and you're going to have to grow your money. The key is going to be having money available that you're going to spend and fund your lifestyle, not exposed to the markets, because you can't control those markets, but you can't, like that saying says, throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? You got to be able to get that growth over those decades. And that means there's no better place than doing it in the market. So you're definitely going to want to be exposed, but the key is going to be having some money set aside to help fund your lifestyle. Again, depending how old you are, how much money you have, there's a lot of different factors that go in there. But you don't just want to move everything to cash, because you never know when it's going to blow over. You know, what happens is by the time you get back in, you've probably missed some of the biggest days in the market as things start coming back.
It's a great point. Yeah, and I imagine with like an election this year, Scott, people are asking this question perhaps even more frequently, just that little bit of fear and panic of the unknown.
Yeah, it's all about the unknown. I mean, you know, is this guy going to win? Is the market going to go down? Is this guy going to win? Is the market going to go up? You know, again, it's a lot of speculation. But again, the election this year, you'll forget about 30 years from now.
Well, thank you for the question, Randall. If you have a similar question, something on your mind as it relates to finances, retirement planning, don't hesitate to reach out to Scott. You can call 888-742-0111 or book a free consultation online by going to talkwithscott.net. We've linked to that in the description of today's show as well, talkwithscott.net. Scott, my friend, thank you for all the help on today's show and talking technology with us, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again on the next episode.
You got it. Always enjoy it.
All right. Thank you very much. For Scott, I'm Walter. We'll see you next time right back here on the Retirement Toolbox.
Go Guardians.
Investment advisory services provided by Skybox Asset Management, LLC.